Take your Bibles now and go to Exodus chapter number 16. Exodus chapter number 16 this evening. Read verses 1 through 7 responsively. I'll read verse number 1 and you'll join me on verse number 2. We'll read like that all the way through verse number 7. Exodus chapter number 16. Exodus chapter number 16. Beginning in verse number 1, the Bible says, "And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel at even, that ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmuring against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us?" Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for a place like this. Lord, I appreciate the good people of this church. Lord, this is a special time of year. Lord, there's a lot of hurting hearts, but I enjoy the family time. I enjoy being able to spend time with good people and just enjoy the goodness of the year and just reflect on all that you've done for us, but yet be excited about the year to come. Lord, we truly are looking for you to do something. Lord, not as a free ride. We're not asking you to do something, but we're just asking you to bless the work. We're asking that you give us the wisdom to know, Lord, where to place our efforts. Lord, we just ask that you'd be with the preacher this evening, that you'd fill him with your Holy Spirit's power as he preaches. May we be yielded to the Holy Spirit as we listen to the Word of God being preached. We'll ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Man, you may be seated. Now, if you'll listen to me tonight, you're going to moan and groan at first, but if you'll listen to me, I think I can help you tonight. I'm going to start with a very pungent statement. Don't get too upset. It'll get a little better, not much. Most people spend between 25 and 35% of their life asleep. If you spend 6 hours a night sleeping, you spent 25% of your life sleeping. If you sleep 8 hours a day, you spent 33 to 35% of your life sleeping. Most people spend far more time in their lives in bed sleeping than they do in their education and their career combined. Now think through that for a second. I'm not minimizing the need for sleep. But I think we all need to sleep enough to stay healthy. I'm one of those people, Brother Fugit says, I'm the guy that changes the battery in the Energizer Bunny. But I don't require a lot of sleep. If I sleep 4, 5, 6 hours, I'm doing 6 hours is way too long almost for me. 3, 4, 5 hours is plenty for me. I've been doing that for a long time. I'm just not one. I hate to sleep. I got in trouble in kindergarten because I wouldn't take a nap. I got in trouble when I was home because I wouldn't take a nap, and I hate sleeping to this day. I don't enjoy sleep. Now, I'm going to make a statement that don't label yourself, but most people don't wake up well. Let me show you what I mean. You don't get up to the alarm the first time it goes off. That's why you said it 3, 4, 5, 6 times. Some people just sleep until they decide to get up. There are some who stay up late and wake up late. Others go to bed early and get up early. Personally, I try to get to bed by 10:30, and I'm usually up by 4:30, or often I'm not in bed by that time, and sometimes I'm up before then. I try to be down for about 6 hours. Doesn't mean I accomplish it, but I try. By the way, I read a study just in the last 2 weeks. It was in Fox News, and it was by a clinical study on sleep. And they said people who go to bed between 10 and 11 o'clock are far more healthier. They have better heart health. They have better biological health than going to bed after 11 o'clock. It is a biological fact. You need to sleep at night. I had a guy in college where my dorm was. We had multiple buildings. They were just one floor buildings. He was about two buildings down. Must have been about my sophomore, junior year. I think it was my junior year of college. This guy was one of those guys that he could sleep through anything. It was so bad. You know what a fire alarm bell is? Okay, he hooked his alarm clock up to one of those fire alarm bells. Have you ever heard one of those at 6 o'clock in the morning, two buildings away? His roommates wanted to kill him. You know, he could sleep through that, and it was sitting right next to his bed. He would literally sleep through that. The guy had troubles. I mean, major troubles. I think he was deaf. Now, I say all that to say this. Here in Exodus 16, the Jews have been led out of Egypt. They have seen the 10 plagues. They have seen God miraculously use Moses and Aaron to lead them through the 10 plagues. They have been spared all of the damage. God has protected them. Then, before the last plague, God said, go to your Egyptian neighbors, borrow all their jewelry, borrow all their good stuff, and you're going to spoil them without stealing anything, because this last plague, they're just going to kick you out of Dodge and don't want their stuff back. So they were borrowing all kinds of gold and silver and expensive things. They borrowed it from their neighbor, saying, look, we're going to go worship our God. We need your stuff so that we look right for our God. They gladly gave it to them, and the death angel came. And that's when the Egyptian said, just get out of here. So they took all their stuff with them, including the Egyptian stuff. And that's what they used for money throughout their wilderness journey. Now, they get to the Red Sea. They've watched Moses raise his hands. They've seen the pillar of cloud and pillar of fire. The pillar of fire come down between them and the Egyptian army. The pillar of cloud was on the backside, the fire on the front side. God let an east wind blow. It separated the Red Sea, and like a convection oven with that fire going, it dried out the ground through the night, and they walked over on dry ground. Now, I don't know about you, but if I saw all that, I would happen to believe there really is a God. Amen. I don't think I would be complaining too much. Then they watched Moses raise his hands up and God closed the Red Sea and killed the entire Egyptian army and the Pharaoh. Now, days later, the Jews are whining and complaining, and the word murmur literally means complaining and whining. You know how, well, you know what it means, never mind. They've seen how good and how wonderful God can be. Through all this, 3.5 to 5 million Jews seem to complain to God and Moses for the next 40 stinking years, every step of the way. You say Moses is the most patient man, most meek man. Yeah, because there ain't no way. At one point in time, God wanted to kill them all, and Moses said, can't do that, God. And the very next chapter, Moses said, God, kill them all. And God says, Moses, I can't do that. And a couple chapters later, God says, I'm going to destroy them all. He said, you can't do that. You didn't let me do it. You can't do it either. They're now complaining about not having the food that they want to eat. They've run out of their own food, and they're in this desert wilderness. We think wilderness as jungle. That wilderness is the Arabian Peninsula, Saudi Arabia. We're talking the desert. And then they look at Moses and say, look, you just brought us out here to kill us. We could have been back in Egypt under terrible administration, terrible taxing, but at least we had fresh bread and we could sit by the flesh pots and eat. And we had garlics and onions and watermelon. Boy, what a combination. They would rather go back to the bondage of Egypt just to have food. After all the miracles they've seen. Don't you think that they could trust a God not to allow them to starve to death? God tells Moses that he will provide them food every day. But I want you to notice something. Look at verse number 7. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. Now, God was going to bring what we now know as manna. God said he would rain it down through the night, and it would turn to bread. And the Jews had to get up before the sun came up and melted it. That means they had to be up pretty early, didn't it? I want you to notice what God says. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. I wonder how many Jews didn't get up the next morning in time to get food. I wonder how many slept past breakfast, lunch, and dinner because they had to get it all before breakfast. You see, he said, I've heard your complaining. I've heard your whining. I've heard you murmur. And he said, I'm done with it, but you're going to have to get up early to see my glory. May I make a statement? Don't get mad at me. This way I'm not looking at you. Most people sleep past God's glory. Most people sleep past God's glory. I am not saying that you have to get up with the chickens or before the chickens. What I'm saying is this. Getting up at the crack of noon isn't what God had in mind, though. Some people have sleep conditions, and I get that. And I know some of the older folks, you don't sleep like you used to, and you're up all night. And I'm not being critical. Some have health issues. But listen to me in general, please. God has special glory for those who get up early. There is a holiness about those early morning hours. There really is. There's something special about being out and seeing God's glory every day. I love being here at church. I love getting here early. Our church sits up in such a way to where it's just, we get the most incredible sunrises here. I have pictures out everywhere you can find them. And they're taken from the porch virtually every day. And I have people saying, where in the world do you get pictures like that? That's the same spot every day. But God paints a new picture every morning, and it's just me and God. And I get to see his glory as it comes up over the mountains here on the east. And the sun is shining on the mountains and reflecting off the clouds. And it changes colors, even though I can't tell you what they are. It's just gorgeous. And there's something about the morning. Any of you men that hunt, you've done early morning hunts, you know what I'm talking about. I can tell you what time it is without ever looking at a clock. And most people, how many of you have ever heard the term the crack of dawn? Okay, that's 30 minutes before sunrise. And it's like God switches a switch on, And I can tell you that it's 30 minutes before, and I can tell you when shooting light is, because at the very moment, and I've watched it by my clock day after day after day after day, all of a sudden the birds start, the squirrels start, things start scurrying around exactly 30 minutes before sunrise. It's like God flips a switch and the world comes awake. Boop. Most of you sleep past it. Have never seen it or heard it. But there's just something special about those early morning hours. Sometimes I joke and I say, well, I love those hours, especially with me and God, because nobody else is bothering him. I get individual attention. God has special glory for those who get up early. Dawn comes from a special glory from God. Now, I want you to see where to get up and get out of bed and see God's glory every day. Not complain about what we don't have. Not complain about what we want. Not complaining about things. How about we get up in those early hours and see God's glory? Now, don't get mad at me. I wonder how many people sleep away God's glory. I'm not saying everyone needs to get up when I get up. 4:30 in the morning is not a normal hour for most people. I get that. And I don't ask my wife to get up at that hour, usually, unless we're traveling somewhere. And even then, it's like, do we have to? Yes. I'm ready to go. My alarm went off once in the last probably 3 months. Seriously. Once. And might be in the last 6 months. I don't know. I just have a way. God, I need to be up at this time. Make sure I'm awake. And I'm usually up 5 minutes before then. I set an alarm sometimes. But most of the time, my wife will tell you, it hardly ever goes off. If it goes off, I was dead. Wait a minute. I'm not saying everybody needs to get up at an ungodly early hour like I do, but ungodly early doesn't mean 8 o'clock in the morning either. Now, let me give you some thoughts and we'll be done here. Number one, people in the Bible that God used, he used them because they got up early in the morning. Let me give you a list of people that God says that they rose up early and did great things. Abraham, King Abimelech, Jacob, Laban, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, Samuel. He got up early to meet with Jesse to anoint David as king. David got up early in the morning and met Goliath. Job got up early in the morning and prayed for his family. And King Darius got up early to go see Daniel in the lion's den. It's amazing, and I could go on and on and on and on. Turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. If that didn't bother you, this one will. John chapter 20. Look at verse number 1. The first day of the week cometh, Mary Magdalene, when? Early. When it was yet what? Under the sepulcher, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulcher. Guess what? Jesus got up early in the morning. The resurrection happened while it was still dark out. I wonder how many people slept through it. Now, God's successes and glory will come to those who get up early in the morning and work for it. Brother Roloff used to say, you make a living 9 to 5, you become successful 5 to 9. 5 a.m. to 9 a.m. determines your success. Your career is 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. It's amazing how much work can be done before the workday starts when there's nothing bothering you. Amen. Yeah, buddy. Can I tell you something? God told the Jews to get up early and gather their bread. Exodus 16, verses 7 and 12, we just read it a little while ago. God said, you're going to get up early before the sun gets up and melts it and gather your food every day for 40 years. Ladies, how'd you like to go shopping before it ever got daylight out? That's what God said he made the Jews do so that they could see his glory. Something very wonderful and peaceful about being out at that hour of the morning. People say, well, we just have such beautiful sunsets and it's just so peaceful. Well, sunset is like death. There's a long night coming thereafter. When you see the light of the sunrise, you know the day is coming on and it's going to get on quick. Sunrise is like life. Sunset is like death. There's something special about sunrise. There's something special about being able to get up and see God's glory in the morning. Listen to me very carefully. Did you know you'll get more out of your Bible reading if you get up early and read? The Bible says, early will I seek thee. In the morning. God says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. Have you ever been beside a sick child? And it seems like once daybreak hits, the fever cools. And you're thinking, I think we're going to make it. It was a long night, but if we can just make it till morning. Please don't take this the wrong way. People don't die during the day a whole lot. They die at night. You know how many times this preacher's been out of bed at the hospital all night long watching somebody die? If you can make it till morning, usually they make it another day. Not always, but it's amazing that if you can just make it to morning, you feel better. If you've ever driven through the night, you know, you hit that 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock stage and you're like, I'm a machine. And all of a sudden, about 5:30 or so, you start getting a little glimpse of light, and you start feeling better. And as soon as it starts, that sky starts lightening up, you say, I'm feeling better. And the light comes on, and you're like, why was I tired? I'm doing all right. You say, what is that? That's because there's something special about that glory of the morning. Number two, I got to hurry. What does God tell us to do early in the morning? Look at Psalm 5. Psalm 5. We're going to look at a couple things here. Psalm 5. Look at verse number 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Can I tell you something? We ought to, A, listen to God by reading the word of God, but B, we ought to pray in the morning. Well, I do better at night, preacher. Not if you get up early enough. You'll do better and your day will be better if you'll read in the morning. I'm not against you reading at night. But if your brain's wired like mine, if I start reading at night, I won't sleep all night long. I'll start seeking truth and my brain will start getting excited and I can't shut it off. But boy, if I start the day and man, I was reading my Bible this morning here early. I texted two other preachers and we were writing sermons weeks down the road. And I said, man, look what God gave me here. And this other preacher said, well, look what God gave me here. I said, I'm going to steal that one. He said, I'm going to steal yours. He said, there's no copyright on them. Amen. Man, we were trading sermon ideas. What was it? Reading God's word early. By the way, it was before daylight. We're talking 5 o'clock this morning, 5:15 this morning. You say, preacher, there's other guys up at that hour? Yeah, successful ones. Ones that really care. Ones that are doing something for God. They're getting a hold of God. It's amazing. I can text somebody at 4:30 in the morning on Sunday morning and text a bunch of preachers, and I'll get three or four of them back with it in the next 5 minutes. They're already up too. By the way, that's why their churches are growing. That's why God's using them. Look at Psalm 88. Psalm 88. And by the way, I'm not saying you have to get up at 4:30 in the morning to talk to God. Psalm 88, and some of you are very glad about that, aren't you? Psalm 88, look at verse number 13. But unto thee have I cried, O Lord, and in the morning shall my prayer prevent thee. Sometimes you got to talk to God and cry to him in the morning. Brother Scott, I cried about your mama this morning early. And Brother Jimbo. I almost fell apart on the platform this morning when we sang What a Day That Will Be. If you noticed, I didn't get through the second verse. Say why? Because I was watching Jimbo and Loretta sing and watching tears flow down Brother Jimbo's face with a smile on his face while he sang. Brother Mike tore me up. God and I wasn't real conversant this morning. I wasn't real happy. I said, God, it's not fair. I'll do it, but it's not fair. I don't like it. They're both my friends. I love them both, and I'm not looking forward to it. But I know it's coming. I know it's coming. It's coming for all of us. Let me read something to you. It's a poem that I heard many decades ago, and I think it'll help you. It's called I Met God in the Morning. I met God in the morning when the day was at its best, and his presence came like sunrise, like a glory in my breast. All day long his presence lingered, all day long he stayed with me. We sailed in perfect calmness on every troubled sea. Other ships were blown and battered, other ships were sore distressed, and the wind that seemed to blow them brought to me both peace and rest. Then I thought of other mornings with a deep remorse of mind when I too had loosed the moorings with his presence left behind. So I think I know the secret, learned by many a troubled way. I must meet God in the morning if I want him throughout the day. Can I tell you something? There's something special about meeting with God first thing. Before you get your mind busy, before you get busy with work, busy with breakfast and busy with getting the kids ready for school and off to school and busy with the laundry and busy with the cleaning of the house and all the busyness of life that we go through, there's something special if you give God those early hours. Amen. A cup of coffee and the Bible, that's enough to get any day started, amen? And you got to have the coffee so that you can stay awake while you read the Bible.
Amen.
Give God those first hours. If you start by talking to him, maybe it'll be easier dealing with people the rest of the day. If you start your day with him talking to you and you talking to him, maybe you won't lose it as much with the people you have to talk to throughout the day.
Amen.
Next, Psalm 14. Turn to Psalm 14. Are y'all doing okay? I feel a holy hush tonight. Psalm 14. I'm sorry, not Psalm 14. Psalm 143. I can't even read my own writing. I'm looking at this saying, that doesn't look right. Too many numbers in there. And got Brother Joshitis tonight. Psalm 143, there we go, that looks better. Verse number 8, cause me to hear thy loving kindness, when? In the morning. For in thee do I trust, cause me to know the way therein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. You want direction for the day? You want kindness to deal with people throughout the day? Then you better talk to God early in the morning. He's the one that's going to guide you in it. Look for God's love. Look for God's kindness. By the way, don't start your day off with the news.
Amen.
You'd be surprised. By the way, get ready. Next Sunday, I'm going to preach on it. You'd be surprised how many people can't survive without looking at the news first thing. I'd rather listen to God than listen to some stupid news commentator. maybe we can be more loving if we see his love early in the morning. So why am I wait till nighttime, preacher? That's why you've been fussing with your wife and your kids all day. Look at Psalm 92. That one I got right. Psalm 92. Aren't you glad you don't have to be perfect to come here? I'm really thankful for that. Psalm 92, look at verse number 2. To show forth thy loving kindness when? In the morning, and thy faithfulness every night. Maybe we get this thing backwards. We try to show God's loving kindness at night and his faithfulness every morning. God says, show thy loving kindness in the morning and you'll see my faithfulness every night. God wants us to show his loving kindness. We ought to look. Can I tell you something? If that person that irritates you most, if you look for something and tell them you love them every day for on purpose, maybe they won't irritate you as much. I'm going to make a... Brother Mike, the altar's right there. I heard that. Can I tell you something? I get... You want to raise my dander a little bit. Well, I just don't like that person, and I don't want to be around them. Then change what you are. They're God's creature. They're God's child. Why don't you change what you are? Why should they change to be loved by you?
Sure.
That's how you love your enemy. Everybody doing okay? All right, I won't get too mad. Psalm 30. You want to have joy? I quoted this verse a little while ago. Psalm 30, verse number 5. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but what? Joy cometh when? In the morning. Joy, listen to me, joy is not happiness. Joy is a right attitude while you're going through a bad situation. Happiness deals with happenings. Joy is Jimbo Wells, while he's got cancer, singing What a Day That Will Be with a smile on his face here at church when most people wouldn't even show up to church. Hospice said, well, you probably ought not go to church because you might catch something from him. He said, I'm dying anyway. I might as well go happy.
Amen.
He said, what are they going to do, kill me? You got to know Jimbo.
Yeah.
I love that tough old redneck, let me tell you. Joy is the right attitude while you go through a tough time. Turn to Job 41. You remember Job, how he lost everything? Lost his children, lost his businesses, lost his health, lost the loyalty of his wife. Look at Job 41. Verse number 22. And that wasn't necessarily the verse I wanted, but it's okay. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves, and they cannot be moved. And he starts talking about these things, and he's then, and earlier in the book, it says, though he slay me, yet will I trust him.
Amen.
But I want you to know something. If you read the book of Job, you'll find out he met with God early in the morning. Psalm 126. We quote these verses together, but we sometimes miss verse number 5 and focus on verse number 6. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. When did God say joy would come? In the morning. So sowing in tears brings joy in the morning. You may have sorrow that endures the night, but can I tell you something? When the sun comes up, you're going to find joy in the morning.
Amen.
Learn to get through the difficulty and the difficult nights to get to the joy in the morning on the other side. If you can get a sick child through the night, seems like morning makes everything all better. God wants us to sow seed in the morning. Turn to Ecclesiastes. It's right after the book of Proverbs. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter number 11. Look at verse number 6. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whither shall prosper either this or that, whether they shall be both alike good. Truly the light is sweet and a pleasant thing, for it is the eyes to behold the sun. Can I tell you something? You'll do better work if you get up in the morning, spend time with God, find the joy of the day, and maybe your job won't be so stinking miserable.
Amen.
Maybe what you have to face tomorrow won't be so bad if you get up and spend a little time with God.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? According to Exodus chapter, where we were at tonight, chapter 16. Yeah, sorry, forgot which chapter we were in. The Jews had to get up and work every morning before they ate. My mom didn't give us breakfast if our room wasn't picked up. There were certain things we had to have done before we got breakfast in the morning. And if it was time to leave for school, you left for school with no breakfast. I'm still here. Everybody doing all right? There's things that ought to be done before you eat. You say, well, I can't get up without, I didn't say without coffee now. I'm for IV drip coffee about 4:15 before I get up. It just kind of goes in automatically. Amen. Amen. Give me that 15-minute infusion before I get up. But can I tell you something? Number three, and I'll finish with this. Satan will do all he can to rob and steal your morning. Look at verse Isaiah chapter 14. It's right after the book of Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon. Isaiah chapter 14. I've read these verses 50 times as your preacher out loud from behind this pulpit. I'll promise you. But you're going to see something in this that you never saw before. Look at Isaiah 14, verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the what?
Morning.
Ooh. Son of the morning. S-O-N. How art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations? We're living in a lazy generation. Nobody wants to work. Can't get anybody to show up on time. Can't get people to do the work that they're supposed to do. Say, why? Well, it's easier to stay in bed. No kidding. Satan tries to separate us from God in the morning. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. You know that Satan has a plan to keep you from meeting with him, meeting with God every morning? Genesis chapter 3. Now I want you to notice something. What happened in verses 1 through 7? Satan came to Adam and Eve and got them to sin, correct? All right, what's verse number 8? The very next verse. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. That's the morning. Did you know the temperature always goes down between just about a half hour before sunrise? It'll drop 1, 2, 3 degrees every morning, right before sunrise, because the sun is at its dark, or the earth is at its darkest point. The moon is farthest away, and the sun hasn't come up yet, and the temperature drops in the cool of the day. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Guess who was successful at keeping man from meeting with God? Satan, the son of the morning. The devil will do everything he can to keep you from meeting with God. Those early hours, that first part of your day, focus on God. Before the busyness starts, Before the pitter-patter of the feet begin in the house, or the thump, 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 or the fee-fi-fo-fum, whatever it is, can I tell you something? Spend time with God. Spend time praying. Spend time walking with Him. Psalm 63, verse number 1 says, early will I seek thee, in the morning will I seek thy face. Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 17, let me read it to you. You need not turn there, you can write it down. But Proverbs chapter 8, verse number 17, and I can quote it, but I'm going to read it so that you know I'm not lying to you. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 17 says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Those that seek me early shall find me. I realize if you're retired, early might be 7, 8 o'clock. But many of you, you got to be up and on the road early in the morning. Might not hurt you to get to bed just a little earlier at night instead of going to bed at 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. Get to bed at 10, 10:30 at night. Get up a little early and spend time with God in the morning.
Amen.
I promise you a different walk with God if you'll do so. I promise you. I'm a busy person, but the day I get too busy to walk with God, I'm going to quit the busyness and walk with God.
Amen.
Period. My wife will tell you, there's times I've been drug out of bed every hour of the night, sometimes out 2-3 hours, I'll still get up same time the next morning. Say why? God and I have an appointment. He and I are going to spend time together. Sometimes it's in a deer stand, but I'm out there with Him. And He and I are talking. Can I tell you something? Early will I seek thee. God said in Exodus chapter 16, and in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. I have a feeling if we'd get up early, spend time with God, we'd quit complaining about things.
Amen.
The Jews were whining and murmuring and complaining, and God said, I'll cure it for you, but you're going to get up early. I can get it right out of you. You're going to get up early and see me. Get up early and see my glory. What was He doing every morning? Sunrise. They got to hear the world come awake at the crack of dawn. They got to see the light break the day. Oh, my soul, if we would just get up a little earlier and start our day with God, how much better our days would be. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I almost don't even know how to give an invitation. I'm not asking you to hurt your health. I'm not asking you to do something that is going to, and by the way, I'm not asking you to get up when I get up. The term early, God didn't set a time on it. But He did tell us what the early morning was.